Yep, he's planning another project. So this Father's Day at Lowe's, tap into free gifts for dad. Get a free select Craftsman power tool when you buy a Craftsman V20 charger with 2 amp hour and 4 amp hour batteries. Plus, get a free DeWalt power tool when you buy a select 20 volt max XR 4 amp hour battery kit. Dad knows our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 7/14 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
Telegraph, London. Headlines: Israel will, quote, destroy Lebanon if war spreads. UK and US warn over escalation in Middle East crisis as jets bomb northern neighbor. That would be Lebanon. Headline, London. Biden says Israel reoccupying Gaza would be, quote, big mistake. Headline, London. Israel-Palestine latest, two British teenagers feared kidnapped by Hamas. There is no significant storyline right now about the weapons and the array of IDF forces. So I welcome Brad Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who posted a piece the end of last week in Defense One, which will now update. Brad, a very good evening to you. Thank you. The fog of war descends on the Gaza Strip and the environment, but we can speak to the U.S. preparations and what may be needed by the IDF in the event this is a long war. That modifier was used by the Prime Minister of Israel last week, and I haven't seen anybody take it back. Long war. The USS Ford and its carrier strike force were already deployed last week to the eastern Mediterranean. The additional news, according to the Financial Times and reporting today, is that the Eisenhower strike force is now deployed to the eastern Mediterranean. Possibly it was on rotation, but there'll be two carriers. That's a lot of firepower. How do they plan to use that? What do we know about sending that much firepower into what is a contained water? Good evening to you, Brad.
Good evening to you, John, and thanks for the opportunity to join you again. Yes, the Ford carrier strike group was already in the Mediterranean, in the Ionian Sea, working with the Italians. And when this happened, President Biden and his leaders at the Pentagon made the prudent and, I'd say, laudable decision to reposition the Ford carrier strike group to the eastern Mediterranean. It's now on station there. That includes its supporting destroyers and cruiser, USS Normandy, USS Thomas Hudner, the USS Ramage, USS Kearney, and the USS Roosevelt. And so that's a whole lot of firepower, as you said. Also, last week, they reinforced U.S. Air Force posture in the region, including with F-15s, F-16s, and A-10 fighter aircraft. The Eisenhower Carrier Strike Group is now moving toward the Mediterranean. It'll take a little time to get there. And it, too, comes along with guided missile destroyers and a guided missile cruiser. So, you know, it's important for your listeners to understand these aren't just aircraft carriers. These are all these supporting destroyers and cruisers. And when you put all that together, that's extraordinary combat power. It can do a bunch of things. Obviously, it can conduct strikes on ground targets. It can take out aircraft. It can provide extraordinary intelligence collection ability. It provides a logistical capability. And the destroyers themselves also provide some ballistic missile defense against upper tier ballistic missiles. For example, any ballistic missiles that Iran might choose to launch toward Israel. It's not going to be helpful with some of the lower tier rockets and missiles, but it can. And so this is a lot of firepower. I think it's prudent that the Biden administration has decided to do this. And the big goal here, the big audience is Iran, as terror proxy Hezbollah. The goal is to provide Iran the time, the goal is to provide Israel the time, space, and means to deal with Hamas and deter a northern front launched by Tehran's terror proxy in Lebanon, Hezbollah.
In the event of a NEO, non-combatant evacuation operation, I presume both these groups have everything they need for evacuating U.S. personnel out of the embassies and legations. Is that correct, Brad?
Yeah, there. So these both of these carrier strike groups would have a significant rotary wing capability. That's fancy language for helicopters that could be used to evacuate people. And you could obviously put a lot of them on the aircraft carriers. Even more valuable would be a Marine Expeditionary Unit. There is one in the region that may be moving in the direction of Israel. If we're looking at a mass evacuation in addition to these two carrier strike groups, I, for my part, would want a Marine Expeditionary Unit nearby.
The war in Ukraine has depleted the American arsenal of artillery shells, I'm certain of, ammunition, and certain kinds of weaponry. Now, I'm told that Israel and Ukraine have different needs and different weaponry. There is overlap. Everybody needs ammo. You published a piece last week identifying what might be useful for Israel. Let's repeat ourselves. Air defense seems to be a common problem for both Ukraine and Israel, but Israel has the Iron Dome defense. Does it have everything it needs to sustain that?
No. To answer that question, you have to make assumptions, right? Like, is the threat going to get worse, the same? You know, what level of threat? But I mean, I published a piece several months ago warning against overconfidence on Middle East air defense with just this kind of scenario in mind, frankly. You know, Hamas has demonstrated a very significant capability to conduct mass murder against Israelis. But let's be clear, Hezbollah in the north is much, much more formidable than Hamas. Estimates of Hezbollah's missile and rocket arsenal are somewhere between 150,000 and 200,000, with several hundred of those being precision-guided munitions, which are more precise in hitting their targets and sometimes more difficult to intercept. So, you know, if Hezbollah comes into this, Israel is going to need more Iron Dome batteries, and they're going to need more of the Iron Dome interceptors, the Tamir interceptors. That's why me and my co-author Ryan Brobes called last week for the U.S. to transfer its two Iron Dome batteries to Israel to give Israel additional air defense capacity and all the interceptors to go along with it. And I also believe we need to be moving heaven and earth to establish a domestic production capacity for those Tamir interceptors in the U.S. Yes, a lot of the parts and supplies already come from the U.S., but we got to produce those as well, because especially if Hezbollah enters the fray here, it's scary to say, but Israel will begin to run low on its Tamir interceptors pretty quickly.
All wars are over by Christmas, so we dismiss that as a possibility here. We settle into what the prime minister referred to as a long war. That is what we have already in Ukraine. So sustaining these logistics is everything. That's the industrial base. Can it match this, in your estimate? Can it rise to the occasion of the demands of 2024?
John, you know, it's a great question. It's a fundamental question. It's a question we've looked at closely here at our Center on Military and Political Power, particularly in the context of Ukraine and Taiwan. Because to be just real blunt, you've had some members of Congress arguing against support for Ukraine and cutting that or ending that. I think that would be a fundamental mistake. And so those individuals who don't want to support Ukraine, who are wittingly or unwittingly espousing Vladimir Putin's lines, have tried to say, oh, Taiwan prevents us from doing that. We've dug into the details, and those arguments don't withstand scrutiny. The reality right now, in terms, now they've latched onto Israel because they think that argument will be more persuasive to some. The bottom line is there is no conflict between providing Israel the Tamir interceptors and Ukraine, because there are no Iron Dome batteries in Ukraine. And the precision guided munitions that we're providing Israel in terms of the small diameter bomb and the JDAMs, the Joint Direct Attack Munitions, there is little to no conflict with those. So those are the realities in the short term. But in the long term, if you're looking at an extended ground war in Gaza, there will be a growing overlap between what Israel and Ukraine needs. But I believe that absolutely can be managed. And one way to start managing it right now, as we called for last week, is to give Israel immediate and full access to the U.S. stockpile in Israel called the War Reserve Stock Allies Israel. That's one thing we included in our piece last week.
And that stockpile is in place, correct? They don't have to, it's not been depleted in any fashion. It sits there.
It is there. I've followed it for a while. It's not perfect. There are some things that should be in it that are not. According to reports several months back, we did take at least 300,000 155mm artillery shells out of it to give Ukraine. So it's not clear whether those have been replenished, but there's still a lot of equipment in that stockpile that would be helpful to Israel as it conducts a ground incursion into Gaza to try to prevent Hamas from having the means of conducting more murder.
Brad Bowman, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. I'm John Batchelor.